Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and I am joined today by Milan Jurkovic and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
It's great to be with you.
Well, it's always good to be with you. Always good to be with you. You guys know what you're talking about half the time, and I think that's important. A lot of places you call, they're never right. Here, you can...
At least half the time we're right.
Half the time.
Well, see, that's why we got three of us.
And the time that I'm not right, you guys are right.
Yeah, see, so that's why it works with three people, and we're right half the time, then we're going to get it 100%. And we love getting to do what we do, and, you know, this is just... one of the best days ever, Thursday, February the 22nd. And I know it's amazing how fast a month can go by. And I hope and pray that in this month you've decided to support us and help us. If you haven't, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about how you can do that. But I'm going to go right to the phones. We've got a lot of calls, and I want to see if we can't get to every one of them. I don't know if we can, but I'm going to try. Let's go to John, Lexington, Kentucky. Listens online. Hi, John. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay.
How could we help you today?
Well, I have a problem with, I don't know how to term it other than religious OCD. Sort of, it's not debilitating, but it's chronic.
Troubling.
And it's just constant. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's troubling, whether it's debilitating or not.
It's just sort of obsessive thoughts with, feeling condemned, feeling, lost apart from God. You know, I am a Christian, but it's, the thoughts are sort of haunting of, you know, you're a fake Christian or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how to explain it beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay.
Who taught you to talk to yourself that way, John?
Nobody. I think it's...
Well, it's not natural to be down on yourself so strongly. Somebody else had to do the number on you when you're growing up.
Honestly, I didn't have an abusive childhood, or I probably had a rocky relationship with my parents, but it wasn't traumatic.
Whatever trauma means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were their expectations fairly realistic, do you think?
That's an interesting question.
That's why we have Steve on the show.
Honestly, I don't see the root of the genesis of my problem in my upbringing. It was something that came up in college. I went through a period of a lot of doubts, a lot of questions, and I came back to my faith. But
yeah. Well, let me ask you one more question.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you one question. What did your mom and dad want you to be when you grew up?
That's a really good question. Successful? I don't know. They never had a clearly delineated goal for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just successful. So.
Yeah.
So you don't think that
to probe into it, I'll say my biological dad or legal dad died when I was two. I had a sort of stepdad, who was very emotionally distant, into the teenage years excessively. So.
Okay. Well, you know, we often explore their expectations, and then we explore what were the expectations that developed in ourselves. We'll be back after that.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Jurkovich, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're having a great conversation here with John, trying to explore where this comes from. What is the source of us being so tough on ourselves? And he said he had a distant relationship with the
stepdad.
Man that grew him up, mm-hmm. and his stepfather. Any idea why that relationship was so distant?
Not a clue. It was just his nature.
Yeah,
it's something I've made peace with, and it doesn't, at least consciously, hurt today.
Yeah,
but it hurt growing up.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I had to work through that. I do feel like that made my peace with it. I really don't think that's the origin of this. It's more of just obsessive thoughts, like an anxiety disorder.
But sometimes...
The best I could find is... Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, let me just say this, and then we'll move on. And I'll turn it over to Mylon and Dave. But sometimes, if we're not accepted by the man that is supposed to accept us, whether it's dad, stepdad, whatever, then we subconsciously, or sometimes we're unaware of it, we think, I'm not measuring up. If I was different, if I was better, stronger, better, gooder, whatever, then he would give me that attention. He would love me. We don't just assume as a 9-year-old or 12-year-old, oh, that's just his nature. We assume we are the problem. And sometimes that can taint our relationship with God. It can form the foundation of a really sad or sick relationship with God.
Yeah, God is uninterested in me.
Yeah, yeah. I can never measure up to God. I never measured up to this guy because he never, ever took a personal interest in me. It's no wonder we don't feel God's presence, love, acceptance. But anyway, Milan, why don't you take it from here? What are you thinking? How do you think we could help?
Well, I think you and Dave, really, Steve, are on the right track here in terms of tracing back to questions of insecurity in our home. Yes, John, you made peace with it, but that doesn't mean that it's gone. The anxiety and the insecurity you feel before God is something that, as Dave said earlier, you didn't teach yourself. You learned that early on, even pre-verbally. You learned that before we ever have real memories, we can feel levels of insecurity and anxiety in relationship from a very early, early age. And so what we do then is what we learn horizontally. What we do with that is then we project it vertically upon God, and the very feelings we have horizontally with people, a mom, a stepdad, other people, what happens is we project those onto God, and we assume he feels the same way about us that we do. And so it's very not conscious.
But devastating.
Very devastating. So if we go to our fear and we go back and examine our childhood, then what happens is that all of a sudden the dots begin to connect. And then we need to also get help for OCD. People that have OCD, it's really hard to slow the train down. It's like a 90-mile-an-hour train going downhill with no brakes. And we can't control it. And clearly, antidepressants can help clear up the obsessive thinking, and they can slow it down so that our brain can recover from the extreme state of scrutiny, anxiety, worry, and apprehension we place upon ourselves. It becomes a loop that self-perpetuates. And if you ever studied physics or engineering, you know that there's no such thing as a self-perpetuating machine. Well, anxiety is the exception. It perpetuates itself, and it loops
it accelerates itself,
and it accelerates itself. That's exactly right. So to slow that down and go see a psychiatrist that could help you, or a medical doctor that could help you slow down that thinking.
Dave, any final comment here before we move on?
Well, you got to capture your thoughts. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5, of capturing our thoughts, mm-hmm. and not allowing them to dominate our life. And in capturing our thoughts, we bring them into obedience to Christ, to what he says and not what I say. And it's apropos. I have a book on this called You Are What You Think, and we're going to send you a copy of that.
Yeah, You Are What You Think, coming your way. I hope that's going to help you, and I'm really glad that you called. And here's what else I know. God loves you. Mm. You may not feel that. God knows that you are making mistakes, and I'm making mistakes. He knew it before you were born. Mm-hmm. He loves you anyway. He really does. I think it's the plague of the Christian community, because of shame that Satan wants us to experience, that we don't really feel God's love. All right, let's go to, Mary, Alexandria, Virginia. Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing okay. How can we help you today?
So I have a 14-year-old who has ADHD, and I'm a single mom, and I have 5 kids. So it's very difficult to... He doesn't show any motivation for getting up in the morning to go to school. And I turn the lights on, I put the radio on, I have his clothes ready for him, and I ask him to just get up and get dressed. I even give him his ADHD medication in his mouth so he doesn't forget it. But every day I find resistance. He'll say, go kill yourself, leave me alone. Very disrespectful. And no matter what I do, it takes him an hour and a half to get up every morning and makes everybody else late. So how do we help him?
All right. So have you ever taken him to get help from anybody?
Yes, yes. He's been going to counseling. He's a very good counselor. And he's also going to a psychiatrist. And so we've been trying to figure out how much of that oppositional behavior is that he cannot do it, versus he just doesn't want to do it. And I don't know. At this point, I don't know. He's been going to counseling over a year, and he's been taking his ADHD medication since September.
Now, he's been going a year, and he can't get out of bed. And
yes.
And so what? Tell me what's good about the counseling or the results from the counseling that you're getting. What's good about that?
Oh, it's a lot of his, so before he was going to that particular counselor, he was very rebellious and very physical.
Uh-huh.
And so that has changed. Uh-huh. That rebellious part has gone down. He was also very abusive with his language, which was like F-O mom and things like that. Now it's more like, I know that it's not better that he tells me that I should go kill myself. But
yeah, it's not a real
not a
good sign of improvement.
So, Mary, is anybody talking to him about his anger?
Yes. And we talk with the psychologist about his anger.
And what is his anger source right now? Why is he such an angry boy?
He's very angry because his father is, and I've called before, his father is being diagnosed with bipolar and narcissistic personality disorder. So anything I say is dismissed when I tell it to him. So he's very angry about the circumstances that we're in right now because I'm a single mom and I do everything.
Okay, so
for them.
So then we can say, well, what is my son dealing with? And we can say, well, he has ADHD, and it's really something that's often diagnosed and then used oppositional defiant disorder, and that's something that's there. But at the very heart of it, he's angry and he's hurt and he's suffered loss. And so to be able to talk to him and learn through our book, How We Love, Dave and Jan's book, Smart Love, how to have emotionally intelligent conversations with him where it's more, instead about controlling behavior and managing behavior, it's that's important, but it's also about the subject of really learning how to talk emotionally and lean into his anger. It's called right brain to right brain connection. You know, when you left brain conversation him, get out of bed, do this, do that, here's the calendar, it's time, all these kinds of things. That's all left brain. If he's telling you to go kill yourself, he's flared in his right brain and he's really angry and he's hurt and he's disappointed. And to stop and look at him and say, you know, something hurts this morning, tell me about what hurts. Now, obviously, school days are hard to do that, but on another day, if somebody's not zeroing in on that anger and the loss that this 14-year-old boy is facing, that's the place that work needs to take place.
And he's counting on you. He's counting on you to find the solution.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't feel like he's out of control. He needs to know there's some restraints here that are going to protect him from himself. Dave, any thoughts here?
No, I think the important thing is to connect with him and let him face the consequences of some of his delaying so that not everybody else is affected by it, where he doesn't get breakfast or something like that, just as not as an angry thing, but just as a logical consequence of his delaying tactics.
And I would also be saying to the counselor, okay, something has to change here. Now that it's a year, maybe we need to be delving more into his feelings and all of that that's unresolved than the actual behavior that we're seeing.
My guess is that there's a lot of feelings connected to his dad.
Oh, a lot of feelings going on here. And then you'd give a stimulant. You diagnose him as ADHD, an oppositional defiant disorder, and you give him a stimulant. You know, ADHD meds are stimulants. And so to give him something that would be more perhaps oriented toward anxiety and depression might be a better route to experiment with, because sometimes we stimulate the angry person.
And if
it's counterproductive, to be honest.
Yeah, if the stimulant is causing him to go and want to stay in bed forever, it's not the right medication.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Boy.
All right. I hope that's helpful to you. We'll send you How We Love Our Kids. I think that's a good one.
Send her the Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder, too.
Yes, we'll send that. Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder coming your way.
If he has attention deficit disorder, and I'm pushing into that because he's an angry kid that's been hurt that has a lot of feelings because his dad's not there.
And he's being treated for something that may not be there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And how often...
Don't send her that book then.
No, we are. But how often is attention deficit disorder a result of a deficit in attention from a loving, nurturing male figure
absolutely
in their life?
Absolutely true.
There's often the deficit that leads to the disorder. Now let's go to Veronica Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Veronica, welcome to New Life. How can we help you today?
Hello, how are you?
We're okay. What's going on?
Well, my question has to do with I remarried my second husband again. He was my ex. I remarried him 2 years ago, and before we remarried, we found out that he was HIV positive. And the day he found out he was HIV positive, I found out I was HIV positive too because he gave it to me.
Okay.
So
well,
my question, my problem, my dilemma, my question, my pain is he is so emotionally detached from everything because of, I believe how he called it, he was in prison a long time. And he does not want, he never wants to talk about it. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about support groups. I want to start a ministry for women and wives who decide to stay. I want to talk about my pain. I want to talk about the medication. I want to talk about all of these things that he has just blocked. He doesn't want to talk about it because I think he doesn't want to talk about how he got it. And I want to forgive him, but I hate him more every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
so that sorry.
Bitterness is bringing up. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, we sure feel for you in this. Hold on. We're going to give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the phone number. I'll tell you, sometimes the consequences of sin are just staggering. And boy, not easy to deal with. We'll take this break and we'll come back for more New Life Live. Hold on.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battle, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 23rd through the 25th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back really feeling it for Veronica. I'm going to ask you to start us off in talking with her about, or maybe just clearing up some things that we're wondering about here.
So, Veronica, why did you remarry him?
Well, we have a daughter, and I love him. And he cried and begged, and he said he changed, and he said he repented, and he said that God did all of these great things in his life. But we were both, while we were separated, we were both in adultery, and we both repented, and he said he loved his family. He wanted his family back, and all these things. And I divorced him because of abandonment. He left home so many times, and the gambling. And that just, and he left home the seventh time, and I said, "This is it.
Okay,
no more."
So Veronica,
and I came back again.
So Veronica, what you did is, first of all, I appreciate that you have a daughter together, and I respect that you want to listen to the Lord, and I respect that you responded to his emotions and his apparent sincere repentance. However, he's a high-risk person. And high-risk persons, with his abandonment, gambling, I'm certain there were other things in there that you didn't even mention. High-risk people bring consequences to our lives. They bring damage, and this is a part of that. But what's going to happen is you're going to have to decide, and I think Dave will speak to this in a second, there's no way you can depend upon him for support. He's really hurt. He's bitter. He's tired. He's exhausted. And he's very disappointed to be diagnosed HIV and traumatized by that. And so are you. Now we have to figure out where does life go from here. But you're trying to ask him to do something that he's never had the capacity to be. Dave?
I'm sure that he's totally embarrassed by what happened because he was victimized in prison. And some men are victimized that way, and he certainly doesn't want to talk about it.
If that's where he contracted HIV.
If that's where he got it, and it's probably where he did. I would give that up because all that's doing is frustrating you and leading you to a dead end, and you've got to find a support group. You said you wanted to start a ministry mm-hmm. of some type. Well, start it and find your support with other people
right.
who have gone through similar experiences. But don't depend on him for the emotional support. He's not able to at this point. Maybe someday he will grow enough that he can share with you what happened. But you got to let that go for right now because it's not. It's only making you angry and frustrated and feeling alone.
Veronica, you really need a recovery group to get through the anger and the bitterness. You said you love him
mm-hmm.
and you hate him
mm-hmm.
and you're angry. And that's what a recovery group of women, not just a women's Bible study or a support group, but where they're truly recovering. You could say that your addiction is anger and just go deal with anger as if it's an addiction that you're having a very, very difficult time getting beyond. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. I think that will help greatly, and I'm going to send you How We Love, and I hope that that'll give you some insight so that you at least understand how in the world you could get yourself in this situation. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's talk about Megan, Sacramento, California, KFIA. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. We won't just talk about you. We'll talk to you. What's going on?
Okay, great. Well, first I wanted to say thank you to all of you for your program and what you do.
Thank you.
I've been a long-time listener, and it really helped the light bulb come on and really helped me to kind of start asking some questions and in my marriage.
Great.
And so what's going on is... after 30-plus years, we are 6 months separated. I read boundaries and realized I didn't have any. And so I started setting them. But my husband likes his erotic literature, and I don't... My question is, he's not acknowledging that that's part of the problem. So do I continue to try and address that with him now that we've been separated 6 months, or do I just continue my own healing and start a new life? And that's my
yes dilemma. yes to both. I think you have to pray for him. I think you have to have a life of your own separate and apart from whether he gets better or not. And you have to continue to ask him the question. So when are you going to make the changes needed for us to be together? Because I can't compete mm-hmm. with the images of 1,000 perfect women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mylon, what are your thoughts here? What do you think? Yeah, right.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Steve. I think you hit it spot on there. And I love the yes, yes, yes. All the questions you asked, Megan, were just in a row. Absolutely, you have to move
mm-hmm.
on. Now, that's hard when you've been married for 30 years. But basically, you need to force your husband into a predicament. Do I choose my erotic literature or do I choose my wife? And that's the question. It's so what's your choice? And that's the simple question.
Yeah, and you got to make it simple. Don't compound it. It's the fact that he doesn't respect you.
Yeah.
He dishonors you. He betrays you every time he turns to those things. And somehow he doesn't understand how you feel about it. And he's got to begin to understand that.
And I think you should sacrifice for him at the same level the erotic literature does. Nothing. Nothing.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 23rd through the 25th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I wanted to clarify that, you know, the erotic literature that he's looking for, those women don't cook for him. They don't do the laundry. They don't do anything for him. So if he loves that literature so much, then you should lower your activity for him to that level that he loves so much. And stop providing him the benefits of being married to you when in reality he's not willing to give up something that is so separating, so disgusting, and so
degrading, offensive. Also
damaging.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, just the opposite of that, Larry Sonnenberg comes to mind. He's in the studio. Larry, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks, Steve.
What are you coming to share with us today?
Well, you know, a lot of times I come in here and I make some testimonies and help people understand what the ministry does, the difference it makes, and why we're seeking support.
Are you not doing that today?
No,
I'm going to complain.
I'm going to complain. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
I believe in the workshops. I bring testimonies here. I believe in the radio program. There's testimonies to that effect. Repeat the life difference it makes day to day for people. I believe in our counseling network and the difference they make in the lives of the people that come to us looking for counselors. You know, I believe in all that. The real question for me is, you know, do you, the listener, believe in that enough that you would support us to help us keep it going? You know, I make this request, and the thing I was chuckling at was I get a little resentment sometimes, and I think I ought to call the program because I resent that we need to keep asking for help and it doesn't just come to us. And it's kind of a group thing. I don't really resent any individuals. We've got fabulous people and donors I've met that give support sacrificially in many cases, and I'm deeply grateful for that. But it just bugs me that we have, I think, the best ministry out there in the media on the planet that makes such a difference in people's lives. And we have to come to the radio mic and write letters and say, will you please help us? I just don't get it sometimes. So I'm asking simply, would you make a gift? Because what we do makes a difference in people's lives. And other times we'll come in with some testimonies and help you understand it. But this time, just make a gift so I can get over my resentment, would you please?
There you go.
You know what I think, Larry, it's a matter of is each one of us taking responsibility to support this show.
Right.
When I flip around on my car driving along, I listen to all the channels. They are all paid for by the commercials that are on there. And when I turn to my Christian radio station to listen to that, every show that I listen to, before the show comes on, they say this is a listen. This
sponsored.
Is sponsored by the show that is putting it on.
Right.
And so this is a and so we're a listener supported broadcast, and people need to take responsibility. If you listen, help make it possible.
And I think it's the case that everybody thinks I don't have to do this. Somebody else will step up.
Yeah.
And you're somebody else. That's who you are. And would you please make a difference? And you can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. There's an easy way to support us there. You can send a check or a gift in the mail at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609.
I hope you will.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry.
All righty.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please help us.
And we're going to pray about your resentment.
Thank you. Right. I need it.
All right, let's next
program.
Dave and I wrote the book, The Angry Man. We'll get you a copy. All right, let's go to Flint, Michigan. Morgan, WSNL. How you doing? Morgan, are you there? Maybe Morgan's not there anymore. So how about we go to Teresa, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you?
This is a bit of, I don't know, it's a little overwhelming right now, trying to figure out where I start. My husband, he's actually currently in jail for domestic assault. In 2016, we were going through a divorce. It was because of the same thing, and he had a drug addiction, I wasn't aware of it, and he started making a lot of bad choices, from gambling to cheating to hurting me. And then we were separated for a while, and he was in jail for 4 months. After he came out, we didn't really talk, and I was in a place where I was doing really good spiritually, and I was staying strong and just trying to find myself again.
Okay.
And he kind of mirrored where I was at that time.
Did he ever get any help?
And some help. I'm sorry?
Did he ever get any help?
He kind of was in a mental health court, and they did some counseling and men's group through that. But it wasn't something that he followed through on and completed.
Okay.
So
why did you go back with him then when you were doing so great?
Why did I get back with him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, why did you get back with him?
When we started communicating again, because we had 4 kids then, and he, you know, had to get his visits, he basically told me that he found God while he was away, and he was this different person. He apologized for a lot of things, and he told me he realized that what his place was supposed to be, he was supposed to be the leader of the family and protect us. And basically he said everything that I needed to hear. And we got back together, and then we went to the Marriage Matters class at my church. And we did the How We Love.
Then what happened?
For a while, things were okay.
Okay.
We had our 5th kid. We had our son. And I started noticing a change in behavior. And I didn't realize that he got back into doing drugs again.
Okay, so you got to get to a question here, and because we're just running out of time.
Yeah,
so what's the question for us?
The question for you guys is, this time around, the last time I didn't follow through with a divorce because I felt a lot of guilt, and I didn't think that I was going to be forgiven for doing that. And this time, I want to follow through with a divorce, and I just want to know that I can do that, that somewhere in the Bible that, you know, it says that it's okay for me to do that and I can be forgiven.
All right, well, let's see what the guys think here. What do you think? Is the divorce the right thing here for her at this point?
Well, I'll answer the question about being forgiven. There's nothing that you can do that's beyond God's ability to forgive except to reject him. And so it certainly is something that you take seriously, and God understands, and God understands the circumstances. And when you come to him, he meets you with unfailing love and forgiveness. But we have differing feelings about divorce. I think you can divorce someone because of the hardness of their heart, based on Matthew 18. Jesus doesn't just eliminate that as a choice. He just adds to it. And it certainly fits his situation in terms of the hardness of the heart. And he's probably also been unfaithful to you.
But here's the other thing, is that you could say that by you not getting into a codependency group and an Al-Anon group, that you knowing he had a drug problem and not demanding that he be in recovery, you could say that you kind of enabled his behavior to continue versus put your foot down. Okay, if you found God, okay, if you are a different person, then I'd like to see you going to 3 addiction recovery meetings a week. And when you do that consistently and I see the character change, then maybe we'll get back together. So my point is just this. There's a whole other set of behaviors that you could now do that are not enabling of him that just might cause him or motivate him to change the way you were hoping he had changed when he was just giving you a bunch of words versus showing you he was really working a real live recovery program.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you're finished here, see. I think there's a lot of other things that can happen once you recover. You get involved with some other women who are in recovery and see what kind of impact that non-enabling behavior has on his heart. I think you got to do that experiment. It's not going to be easy.
Then you'll be able to answer your own question.
That's right. I really believe that to be true. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry you're having to go through this. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. It's what the women in my wife's support groups use, and it works for codependency, for addiction, everything. It's 12 steps that lead you to freedom. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us here. Final segment. We're going to go right to Morgan. Try Morgan again. Flint, Michigan, WSNL. Morgan, are you there this time? Maybe not. I thought Morgan called us back. Oh, poor Morgan. I think there's a problem with his phone, and it's just not working right there for some reason. Anyway, sorry about that, Morgan. But let's finish up here with Sue. Denver, Colorado, listens online. Hi, Sue. How can we help you today?
Hi.
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 What's going
on? Thanks for all you guys do. Very briefly, I need to figure out how to respond to my adult son when he throws a temper issue, such like kicking a hole in the wall, throwing the phone across the room. This weekend we had a family function, and he was trying to play a game on his phone, and it wouldn't work, and so he stomped it several times with his fist. And I don't know how to react. And when we're in front of his five sons, my five grandsons from age 3 to 18, they're picking up those habits, of course.
Are you married?
I think he's...
Are you married?
I'm sorry?
Are you married?
No. I've been single for 30-something years,
okay.
And I think that's why my son has so much inner anger, because his father left us when he was 3, and with him, that was never addressed. I got a lot of counseling, but I never included him in the counseling because he was so young at the time.
Yeah, well, I don't have a lot of time. Mylon, what are you thinking? What do you want to ask here?
Well, that would be precisely the question, Sue, I would ask him. I would say, you know, your anger, you remind me of the 3-year-old on aisle 14 at Walmart having a temper tantrum in the toy section. What kind of an example is that? I mean, just what you said to us. But I'm very concerned that there's unresolved anger in you. It's obvious there's anger, so let's work on that. I went to counseling. Let's work on a plan to get you into counseling. And if necessary, I'll go with you to help explain this. But what your son is going through is not uncommon. There's a lot of angry people out there in the world, and most therapists are used to seeing people with anger and realize there is a root for it. Dave?
Yeah, the root often is a father issue.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's obvious. It's a clear picture. And I wouldn't hesitate to include that in what Mylon has already suggested you say to him. And because once that's dealt with, the anger returns to a normal kind of an emotion.
You had to deal with your angry dad, Dave.
Yeah. And when I finally dealt with him, life changed. And I dealt with him 20 years after he had died. So you don't deal with the father in real life. You deal with the father that lives in his head,
mm-hmm.
and the idealized father that he's never had.
You might start the conversation with him by saying, you know, son, life makes sense. There aren't really that many mysteries in life. And there's a reason that you have all this anger that is really hurting you and affecting you. And if there's any way that I could help you get some counseling on that reason, I think the reason is your dad and him not being involved, and just give him grace, but direction. But I got to tell you, I mean, I hope he doesn't threaten violence with you, but when he's at your house and he does something like that, he's not entitled to be at your house.
Right.
Everybody has the right to have criteria for people to be at their house. Mm-hmm. Stomping phones into my floor or smashing them with their fist, that's criteria unacceptable. So
And it also, it doesn't just set a pattern for the boys. His boys don't have a dad either.
Right.
Oh, that's
because
so true.
They can't trust him to not explode and lose his temper.
Good point, Dave.
And that's why we have Dave on the program. But it's true. His dad, he's eaten with bitterness and resentment. And, man, it's just sad. So for the sake of the boys who don't have a father, this boy has to resolve, this 38-year-old boy has to resolve the issues with his father for there to be freedom. Yeah,
I didn't know how to father my boys until I dealt with my own father. I kept putting it off, thinking, well, when they get a little older, I'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, I hope and pray that something we've said here has been good enough. And I'm going to send you this book. It's a great little book, Every Man, God's Man. And I'll send that with you along with Take Your Life Back, because he is owned by his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many folks that are owned by an emotion. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anger. And quite commonly, it is shame and inferiority. And whatever it is, God doesn't want us to be owned by anything. He wants us to be free. And you can experience that freedom. Call us and let us help you. You know, people will say things like, well, you know, if you just try harder, read the Bible more, pray more, and we think all of those are good things. But if they don't work, then let's do something else. Had a woman stay with us one time, and she thought she was demon-possessed. And they said, go to an exorcist and see what can be done for that demon. And then she did. Okay, now that the demon didn't go away, now that the problem is still there, let's do whatever you can do right now to call. I mean, to get help. And so, you know, maybe your call is the one thing that you could do to move out of that waiting and seeing place to a place of fulfillment, of change, of transformation. Maybe that could happen today. All of that's possible by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. People are standing by. And you know, what we've got available are these great workshops coming up. Every Man's Battle, March the 9th. Hope for a Woman's Heart. That's for the women who've been involved with a man with sexual integrity problems. That's tomorrow in California, Orange County, Southern California. Go. If you need this, go. Please. Try. Get yourself there. It may not be too late. There may be places available. And then Take Your Life Back is March the 16th. We really want you to get better. We want you to transform. But you have to let us help. The workshops are one thing. Books like Smart Love that Dave has written, How We Love, Mylon and Kay have written. Maybe it's the Mediterranean Love Plan that will bring you back together and trying some things to bring attunement and fulfillment and intimacy into the relationship again. I don't know what it is you need, but if you'll call and let one of our folks talk to you, then they probably can figure out here is exactly what you need. You know, when the Apostle Paul was writing to his buddy Timothy, he was just saying, look, you really have to avoid everything in your life that's stirring up youthful lust and things that are unhealthy. And you need to focus on the more positive things, that the good things of life. Well, that was biblical, so it was obviously good advice. When we can't follow that because there's something that has a grip on us, when we can't do it because we are so caught up in the habits or the compulsions or the sins of our lives, and you got to get some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is how you get that help. It's also the number to call if you can help us. We'll send you a copy of the 7 choices for healing that any person can make. It's our way of saying thank you. And we hope and pray that you could either be that one-time giver and get that gift, or you could join Club New Life, become a monthly giver. It is the foundation of all that we do. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mylon. Thanks to all of you who watch, listen, and pray and support us. We're going to see you next time, right here on New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.